The views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised. Welcome to another episode of GUI Nights.
GUI Nights.
It's not Friday the 13th.
I was going to say. Oh, could we get that 70s porn music, please? Oh, man. You are tuning in to GUI Nights right after we just knocked out the fucking episode on the epic Marvel film Wakanda Forever. And
it was an hour and a half of us talking about how Julia Louis-Dreyfus fucks.
Hard.
He's like, motherfucker, I was still in intro mode.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm just like, motherfucker, that was like 5 minutes and... I'm also thinking about what it'd be like to fuck Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
I mean, I would.
I mean, like, oh, yeah.
Duh.
You're talking about, like, so would she be a cougar or a panther? I think she'd be a panther at this age.
No, she's definitely cougar.
Well, I thought panther cougar. Was older than cougar, wasn't it?
I think panther's like a black cougar.
No, it's all, I looked this up. It's fucked up.
It's all age thing. It's not a race, okay?
It's all age thing. I looked this up one time. So I think panther's the next level after cougar. I know when you're in your 90s, you're a lioness. I do know that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Man, I mean, I just think.
little glide, bro. It's all good.
When I had the mental picture of Julie Louis-Dreyfus, I think of Christmas Vacation. That's my go-to.
I'm thinking of like octogenarian felines now. Like, what does 80 say? Like, what kind of sexy cat is in your 80s?
No,
like,
in the term of where cougars and all that came from, women are feline and men are canine. So I feel like I forget what our age group is. We're all roughly the same age. We're
like Saint Bernard.
We're like jackals or some shit. I was about to say. We're fucking like, yeah.
A fucking basset hound.
I was about to say, I'm some English bulldog looking rough, like rolling poly motherfucker.
I will say the male canine equivalent, as far as age goes, to the power of the animal does not equate to the women's feline.
I was
like,
about
when
to
you're
say,
90, you're a lioness. Like, men are nowhere near even close to that.
As long as none of us here are talking about
we're the three legged mutt like dying in the alley at that point.
As long as we're not like we're alpha wolves. We're alpha wolves.
Don't even bring alpha into it. Just leave the alpha word.
Well, in a, actually, in a wolf pack, there's only one alpha, so we all can be alpha wolves. Just saying. So, you know.
You can
how wolf pack works, sir.
You can alpha your ass right out of here.
That's been adopted by like fake machismo dudes as like the fucking wolf pack alpha fuck. The alpha thing in wolf packs, it's fake science. It's not true. Like, it's not a fucking thing.
Why do people always want to say they're an alpha? Like, a pack has one alpha and one beta, and then they're protecting the group, and actually the older of the pack is in the back. So it's like, every pack only has one of each. So like everyone can't be the same thing. It's not how that works.
When it comes to
every strong alpha needs a strong beta, or both will fail.
When it comes to alpha people, or the self-proclaimed alpha people, the most hilarious is the fact that those are the least fucking alpha people, because alpha people don't need to get everyone else to believe that they're alpha. Like, that's not an alpha trait because guys, but I'm alpha though.
No, you're not.
If you're trying to convince people that you are, then you're not.
Yeah, like, exactly.
I'm sorry, you're just
a natural leader.
I got to go back to, I had the total thought of when you were like, well, there's only one. And I was like, yeah, the Lone Rangers.
The Lone Rangers.
From Airheads. That's all I could think of for a second there, where I was like,
hey, man, I just want to come out of the pool and I'm playing the drums. Like, sorry.
Like, Namor in Wakanda Forever.
Could we get that version of Airhead drum solo?
Pip farting on a snare drum?
If you're talking about, like, alpha or whatever, like, somebody that is just like, no, I mean, this is what's going to happen. Like, I don't want to murder your entire family, but, I mean,
That's, you're actually putting me in this circumstance.
You're putting me in this situation.
This is your fault.
That is alpha behavior. Now,
so you're saying Namor is a narcissist.
It's good because Namor is a villain in his own right. You know, like
well, the true alpha exists in as a social construct is best presented by Sam Jackson in Pulp Fiction, where he gives that speech to the people in the diner.
Yep.
He's like, I'm the predator, and you're the prey. Like, you think you're the predator, you're not the predator. I am the tyranny of men, and you are the weak, and I will fuck you up if you continue on the endeavor that you are. That is alpha.
Mm-hmm.
That's alpha as fuck.
Because you know what? He follows the fuck through.
Yeah.
He's like, say it again, motherfucker, one more time. And he does, and brain's on the wall.
Yep.
It's all the, like, the Affliction t-shirt fucking...
Oh, God.
There's this bullshit fucking company called Lions, not Lambs, or something like that.
Oh, yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
For it.
Yeah.
It's all this, like, fucking hyper-nationalistic, like, we're lions, we're not... And there's, like, the sheepdog thing, where, like, it started with the Navy SEALs, where it's, like, sheepdogs, it's the like, people that protect the lambs kind of thing.
Right, right.
And the least Navy SEAL dudes have adopted that as well, as being like, no, we're sheepdogs.
See, the thing about Navy SEALs is you don't know the Navy SEALs. That's the thing. Like, to like brand that, it's like if someone was a Navy SEAL, you would not know. Until you
picked the fight with the wrong dude at a club, and then you find out that he's a Navy SEAL.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Way. Like, the fact that they make these shirt companies around, companies around, like, that branding of things is like, these motherfuckers don't like brandish that shit. They're just like, if it comes up to it, they're just going to put you on your fucking ass and then they're going
to
walk away.
Somebody that can
done.
Win every fight so tries not to fight.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Let me verify the Navy SEAL thing. You won't know who they are.
Ooh.
You don't know what they look like. The only reason why I know is because my brother has a friend that he went to high school that is a Navy SEAL, sees him put in any number of years. Hey man, how you doing? Good, blah, blah, blah. Tried the marriage thing. So what have you been up to? Classified.
Yeah.
And that's all you get from them. Cool. Let's hang out and catch up for what you can tell me. And I'll see you in X number of years whenever you're back in the States or allowed to be in public again. That is a Navy SEAL. That's all you will know.
Those Navy SEALs are like top of the... They're like the elite of the elite. They're like Delta Force, fucking SEAL.
Unless
like,
going up against the Dormelange or something, then they're not...
The bald-headed demons.
Bald-headed demons.
Speaking of which, let's get on the intro of this fucking episode.
Oh, yeah. Let's
first off, we got the bald-headed demon, Scotty P.
I've got one more name to my list.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Because that's what I do.
Yeah. A host of Geek Fathers. You guys go to geopodcast.com. You can check out all the episodes of Geek Fathers.
That's right
there.
New episode probably dropping, well, the same week as this one, actually.
Yeah. Glad you guys fucking, yeah.
We broke the hiatus, yes. We've had a couple episodes out now, and...
Good stuff.
Smash and I are back on track. Yay. Besides all the other stuff, one of the worst things that had put us, like... podcast wise I'll say is we're behind on our designs now. We had so many great design ideas and stuff we were working on, and like now we're almost square one again trying to pull stuff. So
but you've got like three I think up, so that's good.
There's a couple but not a whole. It was they're still technically originally from my solo time. They're not all from Smash officially joined
as
co-host.
That's true. Yeah.
So there's a couple things. I got to reach back out to him. He's a busy man. But Jared Gaines, who is a local artist, been talking to him about a few things. But either way, Jared Gaines. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Keep a look out for that shit.
So,
guys.
Jared's awesome. I've got some of his work tattooed on me and all that. He's a great dude. Go, I think jaredgainesarts.com or something.
Shop?
No, he doesn't tattoo. He just does the artwork.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. He doesn't tattoo or anything. He just does like those prints. He makes the shirts, stickers, and all that stuff with all the designs that he does.
Yeah.
So, no, great artist, great local artist, loves the punk rock, loves, he's actually listened to random GUI stuff over time, loves what we do, so.
Fuck yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, sir. Yes. And right next to Scotty P, we've got Tondi, who co-host of Smack My Pitch Up and... Promote your other shit, brother.
Oh, and my handle is Jonathan Blade.
There you go.
And Smack My Pitch Up will soon be back from hiatus. Yes. So listen out for
that. We've actually tweaked the format a little bit, streamlined it a little bit. It's going to make it a lot easier for us to get more consistent episodes out.
I'm excited to hear the new format, honestly, on an episode. I really am.
Honestly, I think there's always been something kind of bothered me about the format, and I think our very, very slight tweaking. If you like the original version, this is actually just going to be a more streamlined version of it. But I'm very confident.
It wasn't a bad version. It was just clunky, a little, if you will.
Yeah, I think
that's
just kind of like...
And that's what I'm saying. I just want to hear that just version of
it.
You know,
we pulled out the back seats of the car so it goes faster.
Right, yes. There you go. Yeah,
like
there
we're, and, go. Yeah.
I'm also, I am sort of biased when it comes to Pungo Pitch-Up, since I was like, we now have... a fucking reboot, but the first episode of Smack My Pitch Up was you and I rebooting Quantum Leap.
Yep.
That was the very first fucking episode.
What sucked is, like, pre-hiatus, we were on episode, like, 98 or something. We're, like, this shy of 100.
Oh, wow.
Damn it.
But that's honestly a good time to, like, well, 100 probably would have been a good time to, like, take a moment to, like...
100th episode, guys. We're
celebrate nonetheless.
Yeah, we're coming back strong. We'll be releasing more consistently.
And who are you?
Oh, I was.
I got you. I'm helping you.
I don't need your help.
You're helping like a heckler helps. Like,
I don't want to hear that joke. I don't want to hear your old stuff.
Come on, give me some new shit.
Say something funny.
Yeah.
Freebird. No,
take your shirt off. Oh, wait. Whoops. I mean.
I wish. I wish I had that kind of energy like in a crowd.
Coast. So I'm going to pitch up Coast of Deeply Upsetting, fucking founder of the GUI Network, and also... I am his co-host on the GUI podcast. We got Mike Don Bickett.
Yes.
Yeah. I said also you didn't have to.
I do shit.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yes. I do a lot.
And the new show.
Yeah. And oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Promote that shit, actually, man.
Yes. Let me do like an official like on the fucking show announcement is that, yeah, there's going to be a new show sometime after the first of the year. Working on the exact release time. It really depends on when we're ready to go. Pop Cultist.
Yeah.
Excited for this.
New one.
The basic gist is, what's your deep dive nerddom that nobody else appreciates? Everybody's got one, whether it be Waterworld or the fucking Garbage Pail Kids movie, or there's something. There's something in there that everybody else thinks is a piece of shit and you love it. Let's figure out how to make it a cult. That's the whole gist of the show. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's really, the main focus is celebrating that it's okay to like things that other people don't like. It's okay to just like what you like and not be, you know, not hide from it.
And as much as, like, as I know you were kind of talking and you kind of fleshed it out with me and got me to understand kind of, as we were talking through it, like the actual concept going forward. How sad is it that we as a society can't just enjoy shit? Too. Like, I mean, sorry. Like, not as a negative at all. Not at all towards... I think this is going to be a great show, and it's going to allow people to just to geek out even harder. I'm just saying, like, because there's so much toxic shit, and I don't want to delve too much into that, but, like, that statement does ring true where, like, there's just so much toxicity what people love. It's fucking stupid.
It's a result of us having an embarrassment of riches with content. Is that we've been able to...
Have we gotten that...
Enjoy like, virtually only the thing... We've gotten to a point where we can enjoy just the things that speak to us directly. And so if something that we previously liked or think should be something that we like is slightly different than what we want, we get really pissed off about it.
Tribalism is part of our human
nature. Absolutely.
But I'm saying the internet
kind of like puts nitrous in that fucking gas tank real hard.
And like, I guess I'm coming more from the place of, there's tons of shit I don't like. I don't need to shit on it when someone says they like it.
And that's the less funny underpinning of Pop Cultist. It's going to be a comedy show and it's going to be very light.
That's why I'm excited because it's going to bring levity to it.
The underlying kind of conversation is that like the same things that are used to get people to join cults, like repeating the same things over and over, like that's happening on the internet with echo chambers. I mean, it's like a step by step of what happens in cults is happening with fandoms and politics and religion and everything else, any kind of belief system or appreciation.
You want to talk cults? Let's talk cults. I'll talk cults.
Like that's kind of the whole point of Pop Cultists is that we're kind of like satirically, turning on its head the idea of like engaging in your appreciations to a level of fanaticism. Like there's fandom and then there's fanaticism. Fanaticism is always problematic.
Yes.
Absolutely. Be a deep appreciator of something is fine, but
and that I was hoping that it would naturally wrap around full circle. That is my point, people. It is, you know how you fucking fight that shit? You make them feel stupid. You make them feel stupid.
And the person that's really good at making people feel stupid, Lowdown Brown McGovern.
Hey! No, if I'm going to fight stupidity, I'm going to use stupidity and make them feel dumb. That's my point. That's why the show's going to be so awesome, because we're just going to have fun and be jovial and make all these all this toxic shit and make these motherfuckers feel as stupid and as small and as microscopic as Ant-Man and Wasp. In the fucking...
I can't wait until there's like toxic nerds that start attacking the show. It's like, you like Ang Lee's The Hulk? Which I don't. I just want to mention...
You got to defend yourself on that. Not me. It ain't me. It ain't me. Yeah.
But they're going to be shit on it. It's like, you know, that's the whole point of the show, right? Like,
exactly. You're like, and that's the beauty of it. Yeah, that's it. It's make you... Fuck you and your fucking...
Yeah, it's like fucking, kind of toxic nerd, like impenetrable, like you can't like, because the whole point is to celebrate the fact that nobody else likes the thing you
and that's awesome. I think that's fucking awesome.
I for one am incredibly excited to hear about the church of suddenly Susanitarianism. You personally are into
unfortunately the title Moonies has already been taken for all the moonlighting fans out there.
Sybil Shepherd.
I'm waiting for the Gilmore
Sybil
Girls Shepherds fan.
Actually would be a good one. Yeah.
I'm waiting for you to get the Gilmore Girls fan.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
The Gillies.
The Gillies.
I don't know if that's actual legit or not, but
we
I'll
just
take
started.
We started the Gillies.
The Gillies, there you go. That's what it is, the Gillies.
It's going to be a very stupid and fun time. Yes. I'm looking forward to it.
That's all you can do to give yourself the break and enjoy things is just make it fucking what it's supposed to be.
Right.
Like,
I don't want to like say that I haven't had my challenges with it. I think like anybody in our generation went through the whole like poser thing in the 90s. Poser.
Oh, yeah. Poser.
Or you're sellout. You're poser or you're sellout. Either you're like so into a thing and you do so well at a thing that you're successful and then you're a sellout. Or you're not successful at all. Or you're just kind of into a thing and then you're a poser. Like there's a sweet spot of being just enough into a thing.
And then...
But not so into it that you're successful at.
And then you have where like there's no real clear line on what you are, and then that's Limp Bizkit.
Yeah,
you don't know. Sellout, pose. I don't know.
They just want something to break. Like they were just what they were is they were just waiting for rage rooms to exist.
And then after the rage room, they all hop in and they just start rolling.
They roll and rolling. They take a chainsaw. They rolling.
But they still did it all for the Nookie.
Oh, well.
Because they had faith.
All right.
Stick it up your yeah.
Oh, that was terrible. Holy shit.
That was bad.
God, I'm sorry, listeners. That was, and I'm apologizing again, but I feel like that reference deserved an apology.
I think all of that era of rock hip hop requires an apology to like human history.
Very true. Yeah. But I was going to say that was also for certain age of people who had to live through that. That was also the best, getting the best education on what selling out actually means.
Oh, there were so many groups that came out.
It's true for every generation.
Well, it's different, but to sell out actually means to change what you do for monetarily.
We saw so many bands see that and then switch it up the next album.
But so many bands that didn't, that were still called sellouts and actually lost following.
Mm.
All they did was get on, they just happened to be on the bandwagon for whatever was happening at the time. But they didn't change.
And maybe it's my age. It's not maybe. It's definitely my age.
Yeah.
That has changed kind of my perspective on that is that, like, there are just as many artists out there or, like, directors, musicians, painters, whatever. Like, whatever kind of creator you are that is evolving, that is called a sellout or a poser or whatever, as much as there are people that are trying to change what they're doing to try to get successful.
Yeah, there's a bunch of forces at play.
And there's also, like, there's a very delicate balance of, like, being mindful of what, like, the crowd expects and being a sellout. Like, if you're a band that makes, well, fuck, even with podcasts or whatever content creation, if you don't give two fucks about your audience at all, you're like, fuck them, we're doing exactly what we want to do and we don't care about them at all, then enjoy your basement for the rest. Like, there needs to be some consideration of your audience when you're creating art for other people to enjoy.
Right. Like, yeah. And it's hit or miss on that. It's an ebb and flow.
Sure.
If you will, because there are the bands that who were just doing their thing. And I say bands because that's just where I remember mainly, like, in the 90s, with, like, mm-hmm. with music for, like, Silla. And then, of course, Real Big Fish had their song where they made fun of everybody about it.
Out of a genre where it was just a bunch of people that, like, the best thing ever is the discussion that ska is just the music that plays in, like, a 13-year-old kid's head when mozzarella
show up
is 100% what ska music is.
Yeah. Well, the third wave ska.
Third wave ska.
Don't get me started on the history of ska.
Yeah, no. But, like, third wave ska.
he's like, no, don't,
there
please.
There are people that are calling, like, ska bands sellouts. Like, this is the goofiest fucking, this is the Mr. Potato Head of music. Like, it's just right. Silly fucking dorky shit. It's people in suspenders and like fucking Rivers from Weezer glasses playing horn section shit.
Who had to split, like, 10% six ways instead of just four ways.
You think they're
worried
about
being, because they have two horn players.
You think they're worried about being cool?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Great. They're wearing bow ties.
Yes.
Bow ties.
But that's the whole thing, whether it was music or anything, there was, like I said, that's where I say it's almost a case-by-case basis.
Mm.
Though where there were plenty of bands that were doing their thing, and then they were part of, like, oh, everybody is loving punk rock, or a certain type of punk rock, if you will, you know, and they got thrown in, and, you know, it was just like, okay, but they're not changing what they're doing.
Yeah.
Well, take Rancid. I think Rancid is actually a perfect example. They've evolved, but they haven't changed a goddamn thing.
Yeah, but they were definitely called sellouts when they were literally selling out shows.
Right, but yet they were writing the same shit when I saw them in 1994 in the Flood Zone.
The big conversation,
I mean,
in the 90s and early 2000s as far as sellouts, there was a number of bands, but I think the one that I remember most was Metallica.
With the Black Album.
Well, not just the Black Album, but more so Load.
Yeah, because I'll say, when Load, I want to hear shit about Black Album, but Load was definitely...
Because Black Album is like hit or miss. Like, I mean, yeah, it's definitely different than their earlier
definitely polished
albums,
comparatively.
But there's still a little bit of that same kind of like Metallica dust on it.
A little bit of grit, but it's still
then
polished.
Then you got Load, and that's what it is. It's a big, wet Load in the shorts of Metallica.
And then they reloaded.
Then they reloaded.
In the 90s.
They didn't change the diaper yet.
Yeah.
You know, they just reloaded. I think one of the big things, especially for music, is that not everybody can set a trend. There's very few artists that set the trend. So when artists have to change to adapt, or if they want to evolve musically, they're going to have to follow a thing, and that thing might be more commercial, but if you have already established a name and you want to maintain that name, you have to do what you have to do. And you could be one of those few talented who sets the next trend for what the next thing is before the next thing comes in and takes you, but you're probably not going to be that person. So,
But even with Metallica, like, I think everybody, for the most part, agrees that those albums fucking sucked. Not as bad as Saint Anger, but...
Why?
That being said, is that there are all these things that we don't know as people outside of the band, is that, like, it might be that they were getting to an age that they weren't trying to thrash as hard
as they used to. Well, they sobered up, first off, which changes a lot.
That was with Saint Anger. Load is actually the spiral.
That was hitting rock bottom.
Load,
I think about like the kind of music I listen to now, and that I'm in my 40s. There's still plenty of punk rock I listen to, and there's a lot of like angry like punk rock that I listened to as a teenager that still fucking hits. Adolescence, fucking Black Flag, like Fear, like Misfits.
Oh, GBH, UK Subs, like all the Europe bands I've been like checking out again, man.
Do you know the last time I listened to The Exploited was? I don't remember.
I actually got a CD of theirs just recently.
Super, super angsty teen punk that I just can't get into anymore.
Yeah.
Because like I can't connect to it like I did when I was a kid. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong, and it's not that I have any disrespect for those bands or anything, or think they're wrong, but like I've grown up in a way that it doesn't connect to me anymore. But I also listen to like really fucking goofy retrowave music now, and like really like weird fucking like Norwegian pop post hardcore shit, and like
absolutely
like obscure shit, because my tastes have grown. Musicians are doing the same shit. Like, artists are doing the same shit.
Yeah.
So, like, there should be room to let people grow.
One of the first discussions you and I actually had when we first met was the whole thing of, like, no, we got to have punk rock. And then we were like, no, why do we have to stick with one genre?
Yeah.
Why do you have to stick within this niche of whatever shit you're doing?
With some of the genre related things and going into genre bending, I think that at certain points it didn't really seem to affect, and it was a positive. But then, like when we talked about nu metal earlier, and to Tandy's point of being groundbreaking, you know, you had those 90s bands that brought in hip hop influences, especially like with their bass player and their bass lines. Like, you can look at Korn, you can look at Deftones. Like, to me, those are like the top two fucking trend setting, as far as for metal goes, like that new wave of metal 90s bands.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But then you start, but it's like almost because they brought in rhythm and they brought in funk elements and they brought in hip hop style melodies, that now you got this saturation of bands that were almost like misappropriating that style of music to make a point.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, because now you're like actually watering down two genres. You're watering down the message that was prominent in metal, and you're watering down the message that was prominent in hip hop. Where,
yeah,
because if you go back pre-90s, hip hop was the same message as metal and or punk, but for a different
audience.
Group of America, yeah. A different audience of
absolutely,
America.
Yeah.
And what happened in the late 90s was we just lost the voice for both, basically.
Well, yeah. You know? I think it's a little bit like you're definitely right, but it's a little more complicated than that too, is that like you're looking at the era of like the late 90s into the early 2000s, and you've got this era of progressive growth that has happened in this country, where there's like a lot, like Don't Ask, Don't Tell is fucking garbage, but it's a hell of a lot better than there was, you know?
Right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like there is this explosion of like, like that hip hop is finally allowed to be on MTV. Like white America,
not just for 1 hour per day.
Yeah. Like it's exposed to like hip hop in a more major way for the first time ever. And also like representation is becoming, more available. At the end of the 90s into the early 2000s, there's a financial downswing to a degree, which means that a lot of middle class kids are now dealing with like less financial stability than they're used to from their family upbringings. And what happens is this incorporation of basically black rage by the middle class whites are incorporating that into the metal and punk rock kind of affectations of the time. And then you end up with like late 90s, early 2000s rap rock, where it's all this like, yeah, fuck the man. It's like, your dad works for the state. Like,
yeah.
Like
your dad works for the state.
And like Rage is one of those bands that they were speaking to real things, and they were rap rock in a
political
way, but they were,
and
were legit. And then you have like all the fucking knockoff rap rock shit.
Rage, yeah.
That it's just like, oh, we're just fucking Angry Break
and
stuff.
I will 100% speak to the Rage Against the Machine and what, and that's not a band, like what that movement of Rage Against the Machine is, because again, they're not just a band. Seeing them earlier this year and what they utilize their screen for, and the way the light, like the light in the and this was the Capital One Arena in DC, giant venue, the light was focused on mainly on the screen, and you had some overhead, you did have overheads for the band, but the focal point was whatever message the band members agreed on that needs to be displayed during this song. That was a pivotal point in not just American culture, but in world culture, of any sort of oppressive, heinous, hateful act that was done to an individual or a group, or what just a group does
masses. Political, they weren't like, aggro for the sake of aggro.
Exactly, yeah, but it's just, to see a band come back 30 years in, 35 years in, you know, well, not 30 years, roughly 30 years, they made a point in their stage show to emphasize what they're writing and singing about versus... Yeah. Hey, this is Rage. All the lights on us. Let's fucking...
We're angry because we're angry.
We're fucking... Yeah. We're still doing this. Like, no. Like, they brought up names and dates and wrongful acts of people dying and
but
dates
also,
of that. And, like, that is, like...
Not fronted by a white guy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Very
no,
true.
I just think that, like, that shows... it's a testament to what the band always was.
Yeah.
and how they brought in their individual cultures, because, you know, Tom Morello being mixed, you know, white, black. Zach De La Rocha, I think, is what, he's black and Mexican?
Yeah, I think Hispanic, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't say.
And then obviously,
yeah, Hispanic is probably the best way to put it.
I think the drummer and the bass player are just white, but like still, like they all have a mindset of like understanding.
What do you mean just white?
Yeah. Well, you don't know.
I think that is super interesting, because my recollection of turn of the century and early aughts music is that it was the most commercial that music ever got in the history of pop music, was turn of the century and early aughts. Just some like empty, just let's sell some records kind of music.
Oh yeah, well, absolutely.
I mean, you're correct, is that even that rage that was happening, not the Against the Machine part, but like the stuff, was still highly commercialized. Limp Bizkit was highly commercialized. Even like the weird, freaky metal stuff,
because
like
we're going to break stuff,
and Disturbed were highly commercialized. Mm-hmm. They Disturbed was on fucking like was on Army commercials. Where they have like Stupefy. Yeah. Like, I think it was literally Stupefy on a fucking Army commercial.
Well,
there's like jets flying off of aircraft carriers and they're
either that or Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean,
but what it was is that like at that time, this was like the fucking dying breaths of the record industry at the time. They were commercializing anything that had any kind of like, you know, audience.
Well,
as much as the
early
possible.
Days of streaming as well, which was killing hard copy sales.
You
that
mean
that
Napster?
Well,
Metallica stopped that.
Yeah. But Napster, like all the early incarnations of what we consider just your everyday streaming now, though, awesome. That's really when those really started affecting the record labels, especially the bigger ones. The indie labels
and Metallica had words.
Yeah, let's I'm saying like Lars Ulrich had words.
Yeah, I'm not even but the indie labels were actually better off
doing
because
a lot better.
It was because
we did see a boom in other genres of music in that time period. We saw a boom in the indie record label, like Victory, Trustkill, all these hardcore fucking
Relapse,
all these labels fucking took off, man.
From Nitro and Epitaph to Fat Records,
Nitro,
I was about to say,
the punk labels, I know the hardcore labels, all these labels like took off because it was the new voice of the people, mm-hmm. It was the new voice of the masses. It was actually a resurgence in
still
the rage.
Still distributed by like Sony and
of course. Yeah. But if you realize that's also when, because we just mentioned a bunch of the record labels, but some of those were also offshoots because they realized they had to fine tune what they had to do, like Hellcat obviously being one of the big shoot offs from Epitaph.
Yeah.
And that's where you get certain bands that they figure fits better under Hellcat or Epitaph, whatever it is.
Well, like, Victory was truly independent, wasn't it?
Victory was mainly hardcore, a little bit of like the nu metal hardcore stuff, but then you had
Roadrunner was a big one during the
Roadrunner was a great one. But the problem with like what started happening though is that you had greed essentially come into
humans.
But that's why
you saw this happen in hip hop as well, is that
exactly
you had, like, majors,
yeah,
at the very beginning majors taking on hip hop artists, but then you had like Death Row, and then you had like what was the Master P's fucking label for a million years,
No Limit or something.
No Limit Records. There's all these like subsidiary labels that every single hip hop artist had their own label that they were getting new artists on. Just like the punk rockers, like Fat Mike had Fat Records, Tim Armstrong had Hellcat.
Well, someone from Bad Religion ended up running
Epitaph.
And then he gave Tim Armstrong Hellcat.
And then Nitro was ran by, I think Graffin started with Nitro and then went over to Epitaph. I don't know.
Relapse is still, actually, apparently I found out today that I have friends that live like a block away from Relapse up in Pennsylvania.
Nice.
They say it's like the Discord.
Relapse got big metal.
That happens with everything.
More so
like,
metal, but
it's
happening
in podcasting right now, is that you're looking at like the early era, like beginners of podcasting. You've got like the NPR, you've got Smodco, you've got like the big names. You've got like Earwolf,
GY.
I was gonna say you got some influence. Yeah, you got some influence. What the fuck?
Duh.
You've got these big name podcasts that have been around forever, even longer than us. That have been around since like 2010.
That the early days. Yeah,
that have these massive followings because they've been around for like a million. Like they've been around for the majority of the time that podcasts have existed. And then as things have gone on, the number of networks have exploded. The number of podcasts have exploded.
Right.
We are a little older than a lot of that wave. We got there a few years before other people did. But still, even so, we are a boutique network.
We were there first.
So we would be in the scale of things that you're talking about. You're talking about this small indie label kind of vibe that we have here. Which allows us a lot more freedom, but also didn't pay as well. And, you know, it's the same with those.
Where do you find that line of like, no, like,
I'm still waiting for my bonus hobby.
Being paid better, but also like not wanting to lose that Dirty West fucking,
but,
you know.
Just like.
You don't, you're going to lose it because you're going to start doing like, you're going to be like, oh, the audience seems to dig this thing that happened at minute 3.25, and they don't dig this thing that happened at minute 5.
When you're beginning to see what happened in the late 90s, early 2000s that Donnie was speaking to, even with podcasting, is that these, like, Spotify, Apple, like, they're all creating exclusive podcasts. Stitcher has exclusive podcasts where they're engineering the shows to meet what they see the audience demand to be. So that's the same thing with, like, Limp Bizkit was an engineered band. They were literally engineered by a company called The Firm in Florida, the same company that put together, like, I think the Backstreet Boys or something. One of the boy
bands. I was about to say boy bands were like the perfect
The rest of the band, and then they found Fred Durst and added him to the band, and like, you're a band now. Figure it out.
Yeah.
That
songs written for them. They weren't actually like writing the songs.
Labels were looking for bands that they could tweak to fit what they thought the market was going
to
be.
Way to neuter creativity. Yeah. Hey.
Well, that goes back. The labels creating bands been the thing, sell.
That's happened for decades.
The fucking monkeys.
Johnny Cash got handed his musicians. I mean, like, it was like, you know, you're the face. Here's your people.
Yeah. Well, he did
figure
later.
The fuck out.
He had a couple guys on his own originally, but then
when he got famous, when he got
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, when things changed and some of the record label stuff happened.
Yeah.
That's when he was like, "No, we got your guys. You don't need your guys anymore." Yeah.
It's the way of the studio.
If a major corporation isn't going to see something popular, they're going to try to monetize it in their own way.
Well, fuck
with a level of control over it. It's been the nature of the beast with content creation for forever. The problem that happens is when the audience misunderstands the intent of the music. And that's what like the late 90s, early 2000s was, where you've got like literally like the black punk movement, which was like political hip hop,
absolutely,
and then it gets misappropriated by the youths that don't understand where the rage is coming from.
Like, that's where I went with the dilution of both.
My parents is like, no, fuck your parents because your dad's a cop, but
that's what I meant with the dilution of both. Where like now you've got these the actual voice, the black punk movement, and the same message, quote unquote, is what these new bands are saying, but it's like, you grew up in like suburban Arizona. The fuck out of here, man. Like,
did you really think Public Enemy and Anthrax were saying to play your music louder with Bring the Noise?
Yeah, right.
No.
See, that shit though, like that is like, I get
that
like
shit hits.
Exactly, right. Man. Shit slaps like a motherfucker, dude.
Am I young enough to say it slaps?
Yes. Not how you said it, but
it slaps, sir.
That's worse.
Slaps and banger is still safe. Any new terminology that comes out, we're out. Like the line is
fire has made its way back around.
Fire is old. Is completely safe for us. Yeah. Like that's been around for a while. But like
lit has come back around.
Lit is also fine. But I think like anything beyond banger or slaps, like any new terminology, there's probably like
new hotness.
Four versions that are on TikTok right now.
Can I
we
still
don't
use new hotness?
Hotness is fine. All the old terms are fine because we're old. We use like dated.
No, but I mean like
rad.
I say come back around because I hear my teenage son say those.
You can use fresh and dope. And that's it.
Yeah. Ooh, we
this
bring
coming
back
straight from Tanya as
shit?
Well.
I was like, oh, she got the flavor.
I got
like,
permission from the.
Yes,
you remember that shit? We use flavor. We gotta bring that back, dude. Yeah.
Do you remember when dumb meant cool?
It's dumb, man.
Dumb.
It's dumb.
No.
Well, I think I think in some kind, dummy thick is an existing term, and that's supposed to be.
I kind of love that, honestly. Dummy thick. Like, it's not a term that I would ever feel comfortable saying, not for any kind of problematic.
That sounds like something my wife would call me.
I couldn't pull it off. Like, I can't pull off saying dummy thick in any realistic way.
Yeah.
We.
All right. That's,
I think my wife would just call me dummy thick.
She doesn't already?
I'm pretty sure she has.
But not in the good way?
No way positive whatsoever.
Oh, man. All
you
right.
Dummy, you all thick.
Right. All right, that's enough. Down memory lane. That was actually fun, though.
That was a good one.
I love...
That's them trying out... We're trying out a new format for a new show about music, and that is that...
Hey, I am working on a music show. I am working on a music show.
Let me know. Yeah.
New show called Back in My Day.
Yeah. Ugh. No.
Except it's stated as back in my day.
All right. That's enough. Thank you.
We have this thing called a compact disc.
Thank you for staying with us for this long. Fuck.
Alexa, play Black Jazz.
Good night. Go the fuck home.
GUI Nights.
GUIPodcast.com.
In a world with too many reboots and remakes,
two men will stop at nothing to make it even worse.
Join Mike the Hobbit and Tondi as they play by their own rules while pitching new takes on some of your favorite and least favorite films and TV shows. What podcast would dare to bring this upon the world?
This is Smack My Pitch.
My name is Amy Bogard.
And I'm Mike the Hobbit.
And we are the hosts of Deeply Upsetting, where we use our expertise to answer your most upsetting hypothetical quandaries, such as what non-wiggin animal deserves wings?
And what body part deserves a secret mouth?
Which cryptid is the worst roommate?
These questions and more that plague you will be answered on Deeply Upsetting, available anywhere you get your podcasts and at GUIPodcast.com.
Coming straight from the mouths of madness, I'm Lowdown.
I'm F.U. Hunter.
Do you love horror?
We fucking do.
So this is a podcast dedicated to all things in cinematic horror. We're talking movies, television, composers, special effects artists. We're going to fucking cover it.
So if you love horror,
embrace the madness.
Mike the Hobbit here.
Lowdown Brown.
Inviting you to check out Geek Some of the Influence, a podcast that pairs booze with conversation with good friends.
And a little nerd culture.
We get a lot of colorful conversation out of our episodes, but it is here for everyone. No gatekeeping.
Always level up everything we do.
We'll punch up, never punch down.
Exactly.
So check out Geek Some of the Influence everywhere you get your podcasts and join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, Hobbit. Welcome to GUI Nights.
GUI Nights.
Yeah, I am Lowdown Brown. With me as always,
Mike the Hobbit.
This is the tangential side of GUI.
This is like so many of those other shows that has the after the show bit mixed with a little bit of Baywatch Nights, so it's a little sexier. It's a little bit after hours.
Also while tying it into the previous episode of GUI, so look forward to that too, because this comes out the week after the flagship hour-long episode.
So make sure to check out GUI Nights, and when you're done, you can...
Go the fuck home.
Hey guys, Scotty P here with Smash.
Arnie left.
And we are
the Geek Fathers.
That's right, bringing all the trials and tribulations of being a geeky parent.
So welcome to our world.
And as always, join us
or cry.
In a world of blockbuster movies, there's another dimension.
The dimension of schlock cinema. Join us
at beautiful disasters on a journey into the fringe territory of B-movie abandon.
We review the flicks that are forgotten or underappreciated to give them a proper place in the annals of celluloid history.
I'm the Groots.
F.U. Hunter.
Your guides at beautiful disasters. Come along with us for a fun ride.
May the schlock be with you.